here with you again. Let's start with prayer. Our Father God, I praise you for your mighty power, your power to create, your power to sustain the earth, your power to raise Christ from the dead, and your awesome power to love all of us here on earth. I pray that you'll be with our study, that we will speak words of truth, that we will hear, and that we will gain some understanding that will make us better servants for you. In Christ's name, amen. Today I want us to ponder the question, who is the boss of you? Now, this is our second series lesson in the series on the names of God, but that's the question, who is the boss of you? Now, I'm sure you've heard a similar story like this one. Two small children were playing a game, and one of the children, the older of the two, began telling the younger child what he was supposed to be doing. And the little boy listened for a while, but then he got tired of it, and he said to the older one, "You are not the boss of me." Or maybe you know someone who is very adamant that they do not have a boss. "I have an employer," they might say, "but I do not have a boss." This is a person who is unwilling to place themselves in submission to anyone, and their attitude toward the word boss makes that very evident. Now, each of us has someone or something that is the boss of us and a master to whom we bow in submission. If we are wise, that boss is God. For some, though, the boss of their life could be another person or perhaps a habit or stronghold. It brings to mind the recent anti-smoking ads I've seen on TV, where the person is enjoying time with their family or friends, and they get up and leave. And in their leaving, they are acknowledging that they are a slave to their smoking habit. Another example could be an eating disorder might be the ruler in someone's life. Now, this person allows their eating disorder to determine the course of their life and dictate virtually every move they make. Now, there's hope for recovery from a disorder like this, but it takes a decision by the victim to say, "Enough, I want help to get out from under this boss in my life." The name of God that we delve into today, Adonai, means Lord and Master. If God is Adonai to you, He is the one to whom you submit or bow down. He is the boss of your life. Adonai is the ultimate authority figure in your life and the one to whom you owe your complete allegiance. Abram had allowed God to be Adonai to him in so many circumstances. Abram had followed God out of his homeland of Ur and into a new and strange land. Abram had relied on God to take care of him and his family. Yet, in this passage from Genesis 15, Abram seems to despair of ever having the one thing that would bring him satisfaction, an heir. This is the first time the word Adonai is used to refer to God, and let's listen to it from Genesis 15, verses 1 through 5. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus.' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. God took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Verse 4, the word of the Lord came to him. And that's the very first time Adonai is used in the Bible. Now, could it be that Sarah's constant fretting over not bearing children had something to do with Abram's forgetfulness about God's authority and power? Perhaps. Sarah did not allow God to be Adonai over the issue of her childlessness, and she influenced Abram in negative ways that impacted their lineage for generations. It was Sarah's idea that Abram take Hagar as a maidservant. And then, of course, Hagar had Ishmael by Sarah, and that caused a lot of problems. And Sarah really instigated this in Abram's life. Abram believed that he needed a son in order to be complete and fulfilled, despite the Lord telling Abram that he was his very great reward. Remember that from Genesis 15? Although he didn't put voice to the words, Abram said in effect, "Yes, you are my very great reward, but there is something else I want and need, something that is more important to me than you." Abram was calling God Adonai with his lips, yet he had not truly allowed God to be the Lord and master of his life in the area of an heir. The word Adonai speaks of God's right to rule over us. It speaks of his lordship. This lordship conveys a sense of complete possession of the servant by the master and complete submission of the servant to the master. This concept is carried over in the New Testament with the idea of believers as bondservants. It's a reflection of Jesus as our Lord and Master. Galatians 1:10 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God, or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." And then in Jude 1, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ." Both of these words here, as servant, are the same type of word used of Adonai or Lord or Master in the Old Testament. Now the root word of Adonai, Adon, is also used in the Bible. This word is singular and almost always refers to a person, but the word Adonai is plural. Another hint at the Trinity in that word. The word Adon is usually translated Lord, Master, or Owner. In Old Testament times, slaves were the absolute possession of their master and had no rights of their own. The master has a right to expect obedience. A slave's main objective was to fulfill the wishes of their master. But the slave also had an expectation of their master. A slave expected that the master would provide for them. It was the master's responsibility to provide food, shelter, and other necessities of life. Since slaves were the possession of their master, their needs became the responsibility of the master to fulfill. Obedience was the only condition for this provision. So you see this master and servant relationship worked both ways. The servant did the will of the master, and the master provided for the servant. This truth is marvelously displayed in the life of Paul, who considered himself a bond slave of Christ. The apostle reflected a true servant's heart when he assured the Philippians that God, their master, would supply all their needs. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, only obedient slaves can expect such provisions from their master. When the title Lord or Master was used to address men, at least three things were implied. One, it was a title of authority. A king held authority over the citizens. The landowner had authority over the slave. Genesis 45:8 says, "So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." This is Joseph speaking to his brothers when he said, "God made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household." It was a title of authority for Joseph. Second, it was a title of submission. The citizen was subject to the king, and the slave was subject to the landowner, for instance. In Genesis 24:9 through 12, we read this about Abraham sending his servant on a mission to find a wife for his son. "So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, 'Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham.'" So here we see Abraham's servant is in total submission to him and goes on this long, arduous journey to find a wife for Abraham's son. And he submits himself not only to Abraham, but also to God. And third, when this title, Lord or Master, is used to address men, it was also a title of honor. The title showed respect and acknowledged a person's position or achievement. Genesis 18:12. "So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?'" My Lord is old refers to Abraham. That's her respectful title to him. And from Genesis 32:17-18. This is from Jacob when he's returning to see Esau. "He instructed the one in the lead, 'When my brother Esau meets you and asks, who do you belong to and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you? Then you are to say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us.'" Now, this is also showing Esau respect. Now, none of these uses is blasphemous. Okay? Just like we call our earthly father, father, and we call our heavenly father, father. It's not blasphemous to call our earthly father, father. It's a different connotation, a different relationship is being used here. But when the title Lord or Master was used to address God, at least four things were meant. The first is God's sovereign position. The Lord is the sovereign ruler and supreme master of the universe. He is the Lord who holds the highest position within the universe. He is before all, above all, and over all. He is God of gods and Lord of lords, according to Deuteronomy 10:17. and he is the Lord of all the earth, according to Joshua 3:11, God's sovereign position. Another thing that is meant when God is referred to as Lord or Master is God's supreme authority. The Lord is the supreme master over the whole universe. He rules as he wills, rules according to his own purposes and pleasure. The Lord, or Adonai, is the one supreme authority who rules, governs, and executes justice as he sees fit, rewarding the obedient and punishing the disobedient. A third thing that is meant when Adonai is used to refer to God is God's right to demand submission or obedience. The Lord Adonai is the supreme master over all beings, the creator and sovereign Lord over all, both visible and invisible. Therefore, he alone has the right to demand obedience and submission. We owe our lives to the sovereign Lord and supreme master of the universe. Consequently, we should give our lives to him, totally subjecting ourselves to his control and rule. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, yeah, God is my Lord. But when bad times come, they don't want God to be Lord of the bad times. They want to reject God. They want to say, well, yeah, God, you were here for the good times, but you must not be here now. I'm going through bad times. But yes, God wants to be your God even in the bad times. And the fourth thing that is meant is that God has power to provide. The Lord is the one who can provide all things for his servant. He is the one who can meet all the needs of his dear followers, both his spiritual and physical needs. Let's look at it, the example of Moses and Adonai. At one point in his life, Moses tried to serve God in his own strength and in his own way, and he failed miserably. Now, to put this in perspective, Moses was about 40 years old when this incident happened. 40 years old. The story is found in Exodus 2, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 15a. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. So Moses tried to serve God in his own strength, in his own way, without submitting to the leadership of God. And he spent 40 years in Midian before the incident with the burning bush, when God called him and commissioned him to go back to Egypt and to help free the slaves from the clutches of Pharaoh. 40 years later, when Moses admitted that he could not serve God in his own power, the Lord saw fit to use him as the leader and liberator of his people. From Exodus 3 and 4, remember Moses' hesitation to obey the call of God? This hesitation eventually ended when he acknowledged Lord God as Adonai or Lord. Then Moses said to Jehovah, "Please, Adonai, I have never been eloquent." That's from Exodus 4. Here is where Moses admitted his position as a slave and God's position as the Lord, the Master. He calls him Adonai, Lord. And there was only one viable option to, and that is to obey. When Moses called God Adonai, he acknowledged that it was not his place as the slave to choose his work. He had to heed his master's directives. And so it is with God as our Adonai or Lord. When we are willing to be his obedient servants, he will give us direction in our service for him. The name Adonai challenges every person who calls God Lord to be willing to live in a way that demonstrates God's lordship. In other words, the declaration he is Lord must not only be with our lips, but also with our life. A dangerous deception is to call God Lord, Lord, but then refuse to submit to him in loving obedience. You see, Adonai is more than a name. Adonai speaks of a relationship. And it speaks of a relationship where God has total possession and I have total submission. There are three characteristics of people who know God as Adonai. One, they acknowledge themselves as his servants, understanding Adonai is owner of all and they are stewards who have been declared worthy by him to serve and who count it a privilege to serve. An example of this is I read of a family that was trying very hard to work on this relationship with God, submitting everything totally to God, and their washer machine broke down. And they went to their washing machine. They got down on their knees and they said, "Lord, your washing machine is broke. What do you want to do about it?" And after prayer and research and wisdom, they decided God wanted his washing machine replaced. When we give everything we have to God, we submit to his leadership and his guidance. Two, another characteristic of those who know God as Adonai. They understand Adonai as master can supply all their needs, including the supernatural empowerment enabling them to serve God. My God will supply all your needs. That's what Paul said. God is our master, and he expects obedience from us, but he is also committed to providing for us everything we need. A third characteristic of those who know God as Adonai is that they recognize that they can do whatever Adonai calls them to do. God does not ask you to do something that he does not gift you to be successful at. God does not ask you to do something that he will not provide a way for you to accomplish that. He's your master. He owns everything. He directs your life. He will not ask you to do something that he will not enable you to do. Is God your Adonai, your master, or are you the master of your life? And then you wonder why you get into such messes. What area of your life are you holding on to and are unwilling to relinquish to your master? Is it your job, your spouse, your children, your pet sin? Ask God to open the eyes of your heart to really understand practically what His Lordship means for you personally. He will surely show you. May we be so surrendered to Jesus that we, like David, cry out, "I said to Jehovah, you are my Adonai. I have no God besides you." Psalm 16:2. Our Father God, I ask a blessing on us today that we will truly come to an understanding of what it means to have you as our Lord and Master, that we will let you be the boss of every area of our life, that we will submit ourselves to you and not only to your will, but to your provision and to your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.